This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Gus Bradley Show from London, or just outside at Penny Hill Park Resort. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Coach, how are you? I'm sure everyone who's listening wants to know and send their condolences to you for your loss earlier this week. How has it been for you since Sunday night to where we are now?
No, it's been, it's tough, to get the news and then on Monday. But to get back here now with the team and go through, we had a really good practice today, spirited practice. So, nothing heals you like that.
Well, speaking of having a healing, I mean, your father passed. You travel to Minnesota, and then you got to travel from Minnesota to London. I mean, boy, physically, are you okay? That's a lot to demand on a body.
He's a young guy.
Don't feel too sorry for me. I had a bed in the plane.
You didn't have a seat like us?
No, so I got caught up on my rest there and got a chance to watch tape, for quite a while on the plane. So it's good. I'm really good.
And you're ready to go?
Yeah, ready to go.
All right, so how has this been for your team? And I know you caught up with us yesterday. Right. The team had been here for a little bit more than a day. But just the whole exercise now of picking up the NFL team and setting it down 4,000 miles away.
Boy, it's impressive. Just our whole organization. I walk into our room and we have meeting rooms, my own office. Coaches have their own offices. It's similar to how it is back home. Just the whole thing put together. Now, I just heard a comment where Mojo was talking about how, we feel like we're close as a team, but this has even brought us closer. And so you get things like that you build on.
Boy, what a tremendous amount that goes into bringing an NFL team here. I mean, video, equipment. But logistics. I mean, there's right. So many different people involved.
We were even trying to find a way to get our sleds over here.
I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are happy they're not
Jimmy
here.
Luck wasn't too pleased about that.
I can imagine.
But I think we've got everything else but a sled. It is. And the facilities here, to have a full-length field and the practice facilities that we have, it's been great.
How has the players' recovery been? Because it's always easier, I felt, traveling west as opposed to east, and we're talking a significant difference going east.
Right. I think, they handle it, each one of them handle it differently. I mean, ideally, we'd like to see them get on the plane and fall asleep right away and sleep the whole way and wake up when we get here. But it's hard for guys. It's hard for guys to do that. Some, it takes a while for them to wind down and get the rest. So I think right now, as of last night, you saw guys, maybe they had different ways of getting over here as far as sleep patterns, but it was starting to come back together for them last night. And hopefully today, just by the practice we had, it came together.
When we did this show in California, we asked you, does this set up as a warm-up for London? So as you look back on it now, how valuable was the trip to California to get ready for this?
Yeah, I think it did help us. I think it everything appears to be more flawless. Guys have an idea what to expect. The meeting room situations, when we were in Oakland, it was, where's the defense meet? Where's the offense? Where's the defensive line? Here they kind of understand how we got things set up. And we try to mimic really what was done in Oakland.
How has it been trying to minimize the distractions of everything that's kind of coming along with this game?
Right. Well, the NFL Network is following us everywhere we go, but our players have handled that well. I think the big challenge will be the next couple days. When we go into London, we stay at a hotel there. Now there's more banquets and things like that taking place. We're smart with our players. They might be at a banquet for an hour and a half. It's not going to be 6 hours or anything like that. There are a few that comes with it.
This has an event feel to it, doesn't it? It's more than just a regular season game. This has a little more build-up to it, lot more build-up to
it. Yeah, there is. We're having a big get-together on Saturday where the whole team's involved, and they figure 30, 40,000 people in a square, waiting to see the team and hear from us. So, that part of it is true.
With a team that's struggling in a win-loss column, does it help to have something that's kind of going on during the week and leading up to a game?
Well, I think we, regardless of the situation, regardless where we play, obviously for us, one of the big things is we want to take advantage of playing at home. And we have to get to the point where we own that, and we're not there yet. And, you know, now it's a road trip. And I know it's a home game, but for our guys, we've got to take advantage of this and play really well away from our home as well.
And just a quick note, earlier today, the NFL announced that the Jaguars will play the Dallas Cowboys at Wembley Stadium next year. I know you're focused on this year's game.
Right.
But as we were coming over to this hotel on a shuttle a couple hours ago, the lady said, I didn't know you were coming back. I've got my Jaguar scarf. You know, I mean, that's what this is all about, is building a fan base over here. And next year, it sounds like people are excited already.
Yeah. You know, and that's the talk been around the hotel where we're staying. You know what? I think it's building that fan base in Jacksonville. Just like that, we have to earn it and by our play. And now we're going to be over here for 4 years, and we have to earn these fans as well.
It was also interesting. She said, okay, with the 49ers, they say go Niners. She said, what do you say with Jaguars?
Well, say it right. Jaguars.
Yeah.
She said it.
We say, kind of says it like you
Jags
a little bit.
Just say. They think I say it right over here.
Exactly. They do. Go Jaguars. And then, of course, Jaguar Motor Company is very happy with that. So, all right, we've got Gus Bradley here, and we will continue with the Gus Bradley Show. Lots to talk about with the football team getting ready for the Niners. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff at Wembley Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff at home, which means the Public's Tailgate Show starts at the normal time of 10 a.m. For all of you in Jacksonville around the network, we pick you up at noontime on Sunday. And as far as you know, it's no different. Kickoff at 1 o'clock right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And we'll take a break and return. More with the head coach after this on that same Jaguars Radio Network.
As a business owner, nothing compares to the sense of pride you feel when unlocking your business first thing in the morning. In this moment, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if the business down the street has the same insurance you do. What matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
All right, it's quiz time at the Built Ford Tough Sales Event. What truck's been number one 36 years straight? It's Ford. And when it comes to the biggest jobs, forestry, mining, building stuff, more Ford trucks are out there with you getting the job done. That's why we own work. Test drive Ford Super Duty today at your Southern Ford dealer. Based on Polk U.S. heavy-duty pickups and Class 2 through 5 conventional chassis cab combined new registrations, 2011 CYE through 2012 CYTV June within 21 vocations.
Hey Jaguars fans, linebacker Paul Posluszny here. Did you know that the NFL has implemented a new bag policy at all games? For your safety and security, we're encouraging fans not to bring any large bags on game day. But if you're going to bring a bag, it has to be either a 1 gallon clear plastic bag or an official Jaguars PVC tote available free at Daly's with a $5 car wash or a charitable donation. Small hand-sized clutch bags are still okay, but remember, let's keep it clear on game day. Find out more at NFL.com/allclear. All right, back to work.
Inside the 5-yard line, Paul Posluszny came hard and fast.
You know what's good on game day? Barbecue. Well, barbecue's good on any day, but it's extra good on game day, especially when it's Sonny's Barbecue, like Sonny's dry-rubbed wings, hearty chicken wings, hand-seasoned with Sonny's signature spices, the perfect finger food for hungry football fans, or Sonny's tailgate feast for four with smoked pork, beef brisket, barbecue chicken, and ribs, plus sidekicks, bread, and drinks. So whether you're tailgating at the stadium or cheering from your couch, Sonny's is your game day go-to for slow-smoked barbecue. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmasters since 68.
We're back to London for more of the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, of course, the head coach, Gus Bradley, is with us. And coach, your football team seems to be regaining a measure of health. You were joking in the break. You got all your receivers on the field.
Yeah, we were talking about Jerry Sullivan's job just got tougher, you know, finding out how he can get everybody in on reps. But that's a good sign. You know, we're getting guys back to health. And I think, you know, maybe our last game I didn't understand just exactly what Cecil and Justin Blackman did. You know, with Cecil with his injury and Justin with his hamstring and, you know, how they battled through it. But I think they're getting better as far as health is concerned. Had a great practice today. And then to see guys like Burton back out there. And, you know, seeing them compete again, I think it just makes that unit stronger.
Could this be the first game that you're actually making game day active decisions based on game plan instead of availability?
Right. You know what? It's been pretty easy as far as inactives the last couple of weeks because of the injuries that we've had. Where this week now, we got to sit down and think, you know, based on game planning, you know, the personnel groupings that we're going to use, who actually should be active.
Chad Henne gets his third straight start. Yeah. Talk about that from a consistency standpoint. He's coming off back-to-back 300-yard performances, so obviously he's brought an element to your passing game that was lacking.
Right. You know what? I think the one thing with Chad is we looked at it. At one point last week, he was 22 out of 28 or 21 out of 28, no interceptions. And, you know, our struggles are when we get in the red zone. We're moving the ball. You can see the 300-plus yards passing. But, you know, that's kind of been our Achilles heel. And that's an area that we need to work at. So I think we looked at it as a team and as a coaching staff and said, these things are good. We got to really improve in this red zone area, and that's why we continue to go with Chad.
You talked about giving credit to Cecil and Justin. You know, I give Chad a lot of credit because, yeah, you know, on the way back from Denver, he misses the birth of his first child.
Right.
And he's home for 1 week, you know, maybe a little bit more than a week, and then all of a sudden he's here in London.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lot to go through.
Yeah, yeah, that is. You know, talk about distractions, you know, just handling things at home. But, you know, he's a real mature man. And, you know, he can turn it on and off. He knows when to be a dad and when to be a good husband. And then he also needs to know, you know, when it's time for game time and practice time. And he does a good job with that.
We got to back up real quick, though. I mean, you have a son. You have four children. I have three sons. Can you imagine playing in a football game against the Denver Broncos while your wife is in labor? I mean, think about the focus. And he, as you right. mentioned, he had a pretty good game going there for a while. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That really does speak to his character.
But Jeff and I can probably understand. We'd say, that's a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but you know what? He is. He is. He's a true professional. And to execute the way he does, and, you know, it shouldn't fall all on Chad. We had missed some opportunities in the game last week. And those are the things that have been what we're struggling with.
Has the extended altitude affected any injured guys with swelling or anything that you've kind of had to work hard on this week to kind of get it minimized?
Well, you know what? That'd be a great question. As far as Mike and talking to him, we'll have another meeting tonight. But at this point in time, I think he feels better, you know, where we're at.
Go back to Chad for just a moment. Coach, is this going to continue to be a week-to-week question at your news conference, or are you making Chad that guy until further notice?
Well, I think, you know, through our whole team, I think they need to feel that competition. And, you know, we're not at the point in time when we can just say, this is the guy, we're going with him week in and week out. We'd like to get to that point. But I think, you know, Blaine's coming back. This is the first week he's felt better with that hamstring. You know, generally they said it's a four-week deal. This is week three.
Right.
So I think, you know, just a combination of things. Let's just see where Chad takes us.
Isn't competition the greatest coach tool of all time?
It is. You know what? And I think for me, as being a defensive coach, maybe it's a little bit different mindset. But if you have a guy that's playing well, then you play him. And regardless of the position. And I think that's important for our team to know, too, that, you know, just because it's a quarterback's position, we're going to handle that differently. You know, I don't know if that's the case with us right now.
Well, and speaking of competition, Dwayne Grotz had a high ankle sprain. Last week was the first game that he was active since he got hurt.
Right.
Will Blackman's been playing pretty well. How do you handle that?
Well, they're back into a competition. And, you know, so many days, you know, years in the past, I think it was, you know, the old saying, you cannot lose your position due to injury. But I don't know if that's the case now. You know, Tom Brady gained his position because of an injury to Drew Bledsoe. Kurt Warner, he gained his position through an injury, and he never saw Trent come back. So it's different a little bit now. I think that you'd like to have that as a mentality, but it's so competitive. And, you know, I think our players understand that.
You know, one guy who probably won't lose his starting job to an injury is Luke Jokel when he comes back next year. He's that talented. But tell us how Cam Bradfield has played. And in particular, boy, we were talking Justin Smith is a load now. He better be ready on Sunday.
You know what? It is. I think both sides of the ball now, that's the big challenge this week, the physical nature of their play, you know, on the offensive line and the defensive line. You know, that's going to be a challenge for us. You know, we're not up front defensive line-wise. We're not big. You know, when I mean big, it's not 330, 340 across the board, you know, until you get to the Leo and the end spot. So, you know, that's going to be a challenge for us to play with low pad level and to really count on our technique.
Looking at the defensive line play last week, you know me. I watch it very closely.
Right.
Struggled against a Chargers offensive line that I give them a lot of credit because they were shuffled up and they played well.
Yeah, they did.
You know, but your defensive guys, I mean, one guy out of gap here, one guy out of gap there, you know, and that looks bad, but it's not everybody.
Right, it isn't. And, you know, sometimes it can appear bad because everybody's taking their turns. And, you know, we still aren't to the position where we play smart consistently. And, you know, we've got to continue to challenge our guys in that manner.
Well, you got to give credit to some of the guys after the game. I mean, they pointed the finger at each other, themselves, right? in a group and said, I have to do it better.
Well, you know what? I do give our guys a lot of credit. And I think what says something about our team is, you know, Sunday after the game, I talked about effort. And maybe it was a little emotional. I felt like we didn't play with the same spirit and the same intensity play in and play out. And sometimes the style of an offense can do that to you. But, you know, most professional players, if you call them out on effort, they'll backlash now. They'll say some things. They don't like to be questioned on that. And that's not our team. They really stood up for it and took the challenge because they know the standard that we have set as far as effort and passion and things that we can control, and they felt like we didn't mean it.
Now, when we come back, I want you to define spirit because it's a term that you use quite frequently. And I would love to get into your mind and let everybody hear what your thoughts are on what the definition of spirit
okay,
is.
Okay, that's great.
And we'll do that when we return on the other side of this quick break. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show from London on Jaguars Radio. Show from Penny Hill Park outside London. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach Gus Bradley. We should mention, by the way, the Jaguars will go into the city tomorrow. And you mentioned a little bit earlier there's some events and some things going on. So a couple of days out in the countryside and a couple of days with the experience of the city of London. We're talking about football, but it's a great trip.
It really great opportunity. Is. You know what? And I think the balance is to make sure the players enjoy it because it is, you know, a situation for some of these guys. It'll be a once in a lifetime. And it's always that challenge to say, okay, now we're in London. You've got some free time in the afternoon and at night, you know, to experience what it's all about, but yet keep that focus.
Yeah, you got to make sure you enjoy the pubs. We were at a pub last night, and the food was very good.
The Windmill in Wittershire.
Windmill Pub. I've never had what was it called, a beef pie?
Beef pie.
Beef rib pie. Beef rib pie.
How was it?
Oh, my goodness.
I imagine we're going to get a beef or a venison pie here.
There's no doubt
about
that.
We will at some point.
Yeah, bring it on. All right, so back to what Jeff was talking about before the commercial, and that is your definition, how spirit encompasses what you're talking about with your team.
Well, I just think that, you know, you feel a team by their intensity, by their passion for the game, and, you know, their excitement to play every play. And I think, you know, all that's involved. And not only to have excitement for you playing the game, but for your teammates and to play as one. And I think that's what we really look at because that's all those things we can control. All those things, I think, is what makes a defense, you know, come together and take steps towards being great. And, you know, but it's not something that just happens. And I think our team felt like that's who we are. And it automatically show up. And it doesn't automatically show up. That's why the three dangerous words are three most dangerous words are I got it. And you never have it. And I think you cannot take that for granted. And if that's who we want to be and what we want to become, then we've got to practice that as well.
So if you were given a slideshow presentation, passion, intensity, effort, all those things are encompassed under spirit.
Yes, I would agree. And I think you can just tell when you're standing on the sideline or you feel a team. You know, some people comment on Denver. Well, we're not happy with the result at Denver, but I thought that we played spirited. And that's a part of becoming really good is you have to have that type of spirit. And I think with that comes confidence.
Is it self-regulated? Every individual brings it themselves, or is it instigated by a coach or a quarterback or somebody, Maurice, whoever?
Well, I think that's why we talk about, hey, play hard, play fast, play together. Really keep it simple because I think it's something where your players, if they have a lot of confidence, then that spirit comes with it. And if you're not confident or there's some uncertainty, you usually see that spirit go away. And I think that's what we have to protect with our team is to make sure that we go into the game confident in the game plan, knowing how we're going to execute. At times with the San Diego game, our guys got frustrated. A lot of quick hitting plays. You know, that's how San Diego played against Indianapolis. Indianapolis offense had, 48 plays. They tried to keep it away from long, sustained drives, and we got involved in that. And I think it was a little bit out of our comfort level.
Have you seen that spirit back in your team this week?
Yeah, I really saw it today. Yesterday was tough. I flew in, got in there halfway of practice. But today we had a great team meeting, and it was captured out in the practice field.
Quick comment on Dwayne Walker. I'm not surprised that he was the interim coach. I mean, from talking to Dwayne since he came here, I mean, I really respect Dwayne.
Right.
He's been a head coach before. Real calm demeanor. Like the guy.
Yeah, he's really good. It was really a situation where our coordinators, we wanted them to really focus in on coordinating. And Dwayne's had experience. The team really respects Dwayne. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a good choice to have him. So level-headed. and really believes in what we're doing.
Was Mike Perkins, the video director, upset that he wasn't named the interim head coach?
Perk and Ryan both came to me.
You know, you should point out right now that you do have some big personalities in and around your football operation, but they really work well together.
They really do. And, boy, you talk, you know, they give the name support staff, and they're really, really supportive. And they've been great to our whole coaching staff and to our team.
Jaguars and Niners Sunday. Again, we've talked about it. Wembley Stadium, be a rocking environment. It is a 5 o'clock kickoff here in London, but for you folks back in Jacksonville, it starts at normal 10 o'clock a.m. for the Publix tailgate show. The network at noon and kickoff at 1.
Speaking of support staff, have you gotten a feel from Jimmy Luck, the equipment guy, on what the surface is like in Wembley? Because we were talking about the practice field here. It's very different than what you're accustomed to back in Florida.
Right. You know, the practice field we have here is very sand-based. And, you know, they have to roll it every night, put a tarp on it every night for all the moisture that they get. So we'll get a chance to go over Wembley on Saturday and do our walkthrough over there and get a better feel for, you know, the style of cleat that we want, things like that.
It's a big stadium. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
I mean, it is big.
Yeah.
90,000 seats.
Yeah, it's great atmosphere is what I've been told. Everybody that's come over here from another coaching staff or the players that have been over here really have enjoyed the experience.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers running game here on the Gus Bradley Show. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to London for more of the Gus Bradley Show. Hey, Coach, we were talking a little bit earlier about the Niners and their running game, and it really all comes from their quarterback, doesn't it? I mean, as good as Frank Gore is, when you've got a quarterback like that, it changes the dynamic.
Well, they have the ability to line up in a two-back set and just try to pound you, you know, in their zone schemes and gap schemes that they use, and they do a nice job. Now, with the addition of a quarterback that can run the ball and can make things happen on the run as far as his passing game, it just adds another added dimension, and it makes them more elite. Makes them different than most teams that you play. And to have a leader like they do back there at quarterback, it makes it a challenge.
Boy, Brian, you talk about Kaepernick. I say it starts with the offensive line. 3 first-round draft picks, and those guys are physical.
Yeah. You know, that's what they pride themselves on. They drafted in that manner to get that style of lineman. But, you know, in the past, you know, 3-4 years ago, it was all gap schemes. You know, power, 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 counter. You know, to come back, and they needed big body type guys to really get movement on double teams. Now with the addition of Kaepernick, you're seeing a little bit more zone schemes.
You know, watching the Arizona Cardinals game, they come out in that heavy personnel that you're talking about with multiple tight ends. They've got a backup offensive lineman in the backfield, and you're thinking, okay, it's smash mouth football, and all of a sudden play action, boom, Kaepernick to Vernon Davis down the field for 50-something yards.
Right. You know, that's the challenge. And, you know, you really like matchups. If you could have the ability to match up with the receivers and play the 8-man front and feel good about the passing game, that would be ideal. But it's those matchups that we got to be aware of.
The thing about Kaepernick that stands out to me is his speed. I mean, when he gets free, watch out.
Right.
So how do you defend a guy like that?
Well, the challenge for us is that you at times you'd like to have speed on the perimeter. With an offense like this, it's really important to set the edge. And really, at least, you know, with a guy like Kaepernick, if he gets on the perimeter and can run, you've got some issues, especially for us with a guy like Tyson on the end spot. You know, he's a big body type, great versus power. You know, this is what he's there for. But now suddenly they're running the zone option, and he's the quarterback player. You know, so you get a one-on-one matchup there. So that's the challenge for us, is to try to, you know, really position our guys so that we're big enough to, you know, hold up against the run and then also, you know, really be good on the perimeter.
And on once they do decide to throw the ball, they obviously don't have all the receivers they thought they would have at the beginning of the year, but one guy they acquired in the offseason, Anquan Boldin, who reminds me of a veteran Justin Blackmon. Boy, is he dependable.
Yeah, really strong, really strong. You know, there's some things. If you give him space, you know, he's so athletic, controls his body so well. He might not be a 4-4 guy, but the way he handles his body and positions it, that's what makes him effective.
Is it easier for you to get ready for this game and the Seahawks game and the Cardinals, the Rams game and the coming Cardinals game because you were in that division last year? I mean, is there anything to that? And especially Boldin is a guy, you know, that you've seen in the past. What do you think?
Right. You know what? I think, you know, they're trying to find their identity too. Early in the season. For 4 years, you know, they had Crabtree, they had Moss, they had some really talented wide receivers. And I think they tried to mix it up, run pass. Now it's more, we're going to run the ball, but we're big play hunting. And, you know, they're going to try to get Vernon Davis or Bolden the ball in those situations. So a little bit more balance. You do see a lot of the 23 personnel, three tight ends, 22 personnel, some heavier body type sets, which makes it, you know, that mentality of we're going to try to pound it.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team whose vertical threat is a tight end and not a wide receiver.
Right. Well, with his speed, he's unique. And, you know, where you really see him be effective over the years is in the red zone.
So you were talking about these guys, I mean, and what you've seen. You talk about them finding their personality. Is it different than in years past?
Well, I think, you know, with the not as many receivers as they've had.
Okay.
You know, Manningham's down, Crabtree's down. You know, so I think now they're relying more on Bolden and Vernon Davis. So that part of their personality has changed because of the number of weapons they have. Still talented on the perimeter, but really those are their go-to guys.
You know, over the last couple of years, it's been fun watching the loving relationship between Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll. Does Pete Carroll send you a text or anything and say, hey, you got Jim this week?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. We really never got into it too much when we were in Seattle. You know, I don't know. It's probably blown a little bit out of proportion. I know they have deep respect for each other.
Yeah, but it's great for the game. I mean, even if it's not real. I mean, even, you know, if it's WWF, it's great.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How about Frank Gore? Here's a guy, and he does not look like that power back, but boy, he plays like it.
You know, when I first got the job in Seattle, Derek Brooks said, okay, you're going against Frank Gore. This guy's a beast and a true pro and extremely high competitor. And I learned that our first year. That's his style. And to see him still playing at that level and his competitiveness, you know, it's really a credit to him.
Watching him on film, the thing that impresses me the most with him is his vision.
Right.
Great vision. And that's always been, I think, the number one attribute for a great back.
Well, and not only that, he can run power schemes. He can run zone schemes. He can run the draw. I mean, he's really flexible in all the different things that he does. And, you know, he's a guy that will go 2 yards, 3 yards, and then hit you on a trap for about 25 or hit you on a power for 35 or 40. How about the Rams game? What was that, fourth and one or third and one?
Yeah.
When he hit it for about 40-some yards. You know, so he has this ability to break it like that.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now and return with more with head coach Gus Bradley from London in advance of the Jaguars-Niners game at Wembley Stadium. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton and Jeff Loggeman, along with the head coach, talking about the 49ers in advance of Sunday's game at Wembley Stadium. They don't have one of the best pass rushers in the game in Alden Smith. How much has that impacted their defense, coach?
Not having him... you know, made him elite, really made him elite. And I think they're getting back to that eliteness. One thing that they can do that's really effective is they have the ability to play seven-man front and, you know, split safety, and they can defend the run. So it really gives them the flexibility of playing two-man type coverages, you know, trail technique, tighter coverages on all the routes, and they're getting away with it because of how stout they are up front.
Well, and that stoutness starts with Justin Smith, but then also Ray McDonald, the two defensive ends, and then Glenn Dorsey, the new addition at nose tackle, good player.
Right. I mean, you know, and everybody, the credit should go to Justin. He is a really, really good player, but Ray's playing really well too.
Yeah, the outside guys that are trying to replace Alden Smith, obviously Ahmad Brooks, Virginia guy, by the way.
Yeah.
But the guy that's impressed me, and I wrote it down phonetically, Corey Lemonnier.
Yes.
Young rookie, third-round pick, I believe it is, from Auburn. He's shown some stuff.
He is. You know what? We really liked him in the draft. You know, we were looking at him as a guy that could play the Leo spot.
That's what I was thinking.
And, you know, so we were really impressed with him off of tape. And now he's getting his chance to play, and he's been really effective.
How about the safeties? How important is Dante Hittner? Whitner, whatever you want to call him. I noticed you put Hittner on the board.
Well, he's going to legally change his name. After the government shut down, he's going to change his name.
Well, extremely competitive. I think he really brings a lot of stability to the back end there. And now with Reed, too. You know, traditionally a rookie has a tough time early. He played solid, but now I think you're really seeing his comfort level in the defense. And I think Dante's really helped him out.
You know, Reed's got the one that's got the turnovers. He's kind of the ball hawk, three interceptions, and then Dante Hittner or Whitner, he's that physical presence, that box guy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of teams are going to that, just like with us, you know, with a guy like Jonathan Cyprian, that physical safety, and then that guy that can cover a lot of ground.
In your time in the league, has that changed? Because, you know, for a while there, it was all about Tampa 2, and you came started in Tampa, and you saw them safeties stay back, and guys wanted safeties that were more corner-like, and now all of a sudden you're starting to see more box-type safeties.
Well, it, you know, you really are. It really comes down to, on defense, if you can stop the run. And, you know, especially in our division, you're seeing that. And I think teams have evolved to where they like that physical safety because somebody has to come down and get in those eight-man fronts. So to have that versatility of a guy that you can count on to come down and can hold up for 16 games, you know, is important.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about Vernon Davis, and I understand that's an elite pass-receiving tight end. How important is it for you, especially against safeties like this, to have Mercedes Lewis back on the field this
week? Well, it's good. You know, not only for the pass in matchups, but also the run. You know, with how physical their defensive line is, how stout they are, it's good to have a tight end at the point of attack that can, you know, get some movement, and that's what Mercedes has to do for us.
I was also thinking about that 31-yard catch and run where he didn't want to go down last week.
Right.
And it was, for a guy who has had a calf injury and has not been very active the last couple of months, to see him fighting for that extra yardage, that was pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, defensive coordinators will tear apart and find any stat they can. And, you know, you look at tight ends and you say, well, when this tight end is in, they're heavy run. When this tight end is in, they're more pass-oriented. So to have the guy like Mercedes that gives us that flexibility is great.
All right, Jaguars and Niners on Sunday. We'll continue our conversation with Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley right after this quick timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network. We roll along here on the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton and Jeff Loggeman with Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. Jaguars see one of the better middle linebackers in the league, don't they?
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't even talked about Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis, two all-pro linebackers, and without even going to their positions. I mean, they're great players.
They are. You know, they play off each other. They're both at 240-plus, you know, in there in the middle. So they have the physical nature. And to play 3-4 now, when you play 3-4 concepts, those two linebackers got to be stout, got to be physical, and that's what they have in those two guys.
For a lot of years, many people said that Patrick Willis is hands down maybe the best inside linebacker in the game. Many people said, hey, he's the next Ray Lewis. Now all of a sudden, Navarro Bowman is starting to make his own name for himself.
He is. You know what? And at times you'll see him take Patrick off the field, keep Navarro on, you know, in passing situations. Yeah. And it's not like Patrick isn't fast because he's, what, 4'4", 4'4", 8, something like that. And so he's got the speed, but, you know, it just is a credit to Navarro and how good he's playing.
You know, speaking of the linebackers, it brings us to the guards. How are your guards from a health perspective? I know each of them battled nagging injuries early in the season. You got your wide receivers back healthy. How about your offensive line?
Well, they're doing better. You know, I think it's something that we know that they're going to have to go through. This bye week coming up, I think, will be good for our team. You know, to getting us healthy and making sure that we get enough treatments in with our players. But they've done a good job battling through those.
Maurice getting better. Looks like he tweaked his ankle a little bit last week.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's again, this week coming up after this game, I think will be good for him. He's back and he's, you know, fighting through it. I'm sure he's going through a little bit of pain in there. But, you know, he never demonstrates it, never talks about it.
I mean, he looks like he's inches away from
right.
breaking one of those signature Maurice Jones-Drew runs.
Right. You know, the way he runs, the physical nature, I think, you know, it's going to just get better for him.
Because last week, when he got hurt and he came back in the game, he actually made a couple runs that looked better than it did early on in the game. I give Maurice a lot of credit. He's been tough.
He really has. You know, and you know, with his weight and then his ankle and his foot, you know, all those things that could distract him. He's really calmed it down for himself. And, you know, even in practice, you're seeing him jump in and take all the reps, you know, whenever he can. We tried to hold him out on Wednesday. We talked about he wanted to go Wednesday. He's really competing.
You know, every week as a coach, you put together a plan. Okay, this is how we beat this team. Do you have a couple points with the 49ers, the secret to beating the 49ers as good as they are?
Well, you know what? You'd like to establish the run game. And, you know, that's something that you want to try to do each and every week. And any way you can, whether it's spreading them out or tightening it up, you just got to figure out what's best for your personality. But if you can run the ball, then it opens up the pass game.
And the one position we never really talked about, the 49ers, the corner position. I think this is a great matchup for Justin Blackmon and Cecil Short.
Yeah, you know, the corner spots, their secondary's good. They really rely on pass rush. And in their 3-4 scheme, you know, to get those edge rushers going, guys like Justin Smith going to add rush to it. So, you know, I think it does give them the flexibility. That's why you see some two-man to try to help those guys as well.
Did Mike Brown end up maybe carving a niche out for himself after last week's game where he had over 100 yards receiving?
Well, I think it shows you that we have flexibility. You know, Justin Blackman had the big game, and then Mike Brown had the game, and Cecil. You know, I think that's what you want in your offense, the flexibility to try to give each guy opportunity to make plays.
All right, we've got one more segment with the head coach, and we'll return to wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show after this on Jaguars Radio. Back to wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach. And you know what? You got this game, obviously, you're getting ready for on Sunday, and that's your prime focus. But the bye week is coming up next week. And that's, as you mentioned, a big week for your football team right in the middle of the season.
Right. You know, and I think it comes at a good time for us. You know, give us a chance as a coaching staff to go reevaluate the things we've done up to this point. You know, self-scout will be huge. Looking at things, again, trying to find the strengths of our team and best, you know, put our guys in position to utilize those strengths.
Are you going to, as you get closer to kickoff time, do you prepare your team what to expect? You know, have you called anybody, another coach
yes.
maybe has been here for a game in Wembley?
Yeah, we've talked to Minnesota and Pittsburgh, and a couple of our coaches has been here. Mike Mallory's here with New Orleans, Todd Wash with Tampa. So, you know, we're getting good feedback from them as far as the environment and what to expect.
And the facilities, the locker room. I mean, do you have any idea with some
no.
of that stuff?
You know,
it's a soccer locker room.
They did take pictures of it, you know, and we've seen pictures. But until you're there, that's why we go over there on Saturday.
Jaguars and Niners, by the way, it is a 1 o'clock kickoff for those of you back home, 10 o'clock for the public's pregame show, and we'll pick up the network at noon for Jaguars pregame and then whistle to whistle coverage.
Yeah, when you're talking about going there on Saturday, I'm reminded of that movie, Hoosiers. One of the greatest movies of all time. And, you know, he takes them to the court and he has them measure the basketball hoop and all that kind of thing. And he says, hey, guys, it looks just like ours.
Right. You know what? And that's, you know, we talk about go anywhere, anytime, any place to compete. And, you know, this is just another opportunity for us. And I think our players, they really are excited about this opportunity to come back from what happened last week and really display our character.
I'm thinking maybe the clip of that movie the night before a game, the presentation.
No, our guys don't think that we're Hoosiers, but,
no.
You know, I think, you know, they are excited about it.
How about the culture? I mean, you keep talking about building the culture here. You go to California for 10 days. You come here for, you know, 6 days, 7 days. It really does help reinforce the culture you're trying to build with a young football team in the very early stages of what you and Dave and Sean are working towards.
Right. And I think sometimes when you take trips like this, or the number of times we've been on road games, the amount of traveling we've had up to this place, that could wear on a team, especially the veteran players. But I think we've got a nice mix. The younger players, they just want to go play. You know, they just want the opportunity to play, and they don't think too much about those things. And so that part's been good.
Going to the owner, Shad Khan, you know, looking around where we are right here at Penny Hill Park, it's pretty nice. I mean, you got to have, when you have a situation where you're traveling to Europe, you know, to London, you got to have an owner who's very supportive of it, and it looks like he's taking care of this team.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, from start to finish, he's been, you know, a owner that wants the best for us and giving us everything we can to get it to the point where we need it to be. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about what Shad's done for us.
Well, and obviously they've been busy down in the city of London all week, you know, opening up doors and bringing Jacksonville. So this is – it obviously, from your focus, it's about football. But from a Jacksonville focus, this is really a big week for the community.
Yeah, I think so. I know it's important to Shad to, you know, for us to represent Jacksonville and, you know, our organization. And I know he's doing everything he can to put us in good light, and it has just by the reaction from around people around here.
Since we've been here, rain off and on in the forecast. Looking at the forecast for Sunday, looks like 80% chance of rain.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, I guess, in London. You know?
What's that, all the difference from Seattle?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that's part of it, and, you know, that's why we go on Saturday to get a feel for the field.
All right, Jaguars and 49ers, great matchup Sunday at Wembley Stadium. Jaguars, the home team. Hopefully over the course of the next couple years, because we know it's going to be a couple years here. You see the base build. Now, you were at Nike Town.
Yes.
And we've got less than a minute here, but there were a lot of Jaguars fans at Nike Town, so hopefully we feel them in the stadium
on
Sunday.
And the first thing I think of when I hear them say Jaguars, I said, hey, they sound like Gus.
Because they've been talking about Jaguar motor car for so many years here. It's tough to kind of get them to square it out. But that's why that lady on the bus said, go Jags.
Yeah, she wanted to know a simple term. He said, go Jags. She said, got it.
Simple. And she said, well, you're coming back next year, so I've got my Jaguar scarf. And we'll have the broadcast for you again, 10 o'clock for those of you on the East Coast in Jacksonville with the Publix pregame show. The network picks up everybody at noon. Kickoff at 1. Coach, best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk to you next week from Jacksonville when we get back home. Have a great one, everybody.